Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we are reading Canto 9, Chapter 4, Ambarish Maharaj offended by Durvasa Muni. And we have verses 55 and 56. So I will read 55, and it has no purport, so then we will together chant 56. So 55. Pratyakyato virinchena Vishnu chakro patapita durvasa saranam yata sharvam kailasa vasinam. When Durvasa, who was greatly afflicted by the blazing fire of the Sudarshana chakra, was thus refused by Lord Brahma, he tried to take shelter of Lord Shiva, who always resides on his planet known as Kailas. And text 56. You can chant. Shri Shankara Uvacha. Vayam Natata Prabhavam Abhumni. Yasmin Parenye Pyaja Jiva Kosha. Bhavanti Kale Nabhavanti Hidrisha. Sahasrasho Yatra Vayam Brahmamaha. Shri Shankara Uvacha. Lord Shiva said, Vayam, we, na, not, tata, O my dear son, Prabhavamaha, sufficiently able, Bhumni, unto the great supreme personality of Godhead. Yasmin, in whom? Pare, in the transcendence. Anye, others. Api, even. Aja, Lord Brahma. Jiva, living entities. Kosa, the universes. Bhavanti, can become. Kale, in due course of time. Na, not. Bhavanti, can become. He, indeed. Idrisha, like this. Sahasrasha, many thousands and millions. Yatra, we're in. Vayam, all of us, Brahmamaha, are rotating. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Lord Shiva said, my dear son, I, Lord Brahma, and the other demigods who rotate within this universe under the misconception of our greatness, cannot exhibit any power to compete with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for innumerable universes and their inhabitants come into existence and are annihilated by the simple direction of the Lord. Purport. There are innumerable universes in the material world, and there are innumerable Lord Brahmas, Lord Shivas, and other demigods. All of them rotate within this material world under the supreme direction of the personality of Godhead. Therefore, no one is able to compete with the strength of the Lord. Lord Shiva also refused to protect Durvasa, for Lord Shiva also was under the rays of the Sudarshana chakra sent by the supreme personality of Godhead. Ama gyanati manandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun maritam yena tasmai shri gurave namaham vancha kalpataru vyascha kripa sindhu vyayvacha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namah yasya prasadada gyuti sadya sarvagyatam raje sa shri chaitanya devame bhagavan samprasidatum shadang shirtamritam May Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, be fully merciful unto me. By His grace, a complete fool can get all knowledge in one moment. Sri Chaitanya Padam Bhoja Madhupebhyo Namo Namah Katanchidashaya Desham Shavitad Ganda Bhagavat. Another verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. My respectful obeisances to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are like honeybees drinking honey from the Lord's lotus feet. Even a dog, or Prabhupada says, doggish non-devotee, even a dog, shwa api, taking shelter of such devotees somehow or other will also get a share of that honey. Jai Shri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Shiva said, My dear son, I, Lord Brahma, and the other demigods who rotate within this universe under the misconception of our greatness cannot exhibit any power to compete with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For innumerable universes and their inhabitants come into existence and are annihilated by the simple direction of the Lord. Bhagavatam is the sum which emanates the rays of true dharma in this age and which can give eyes to the blind people of Kali Yuga. And Bhagavatam is not different from Krishna. And Bhagavatam is a school. So Bhagavatam is the only place, the only Purana, where you have the 10th canto with 90 chapters directly about Krishna. Then we have canto 11 with 30 chapters also about Krishna, Uddhava Gita in a philosophical way, other cantos. We have like third canto, also Uddhava and Vidura, so 2-3 chapters about Krishna and Vrindavan, first canto, Krishna, directly Krishna. So Bhagavatam is about Krishna. Bhagavatam gives you Krishna. And we know that the sweetest smile of Krishna is in Vrindavan. So Vrindavan Leela are the about 40 chapters of canto 10. So they are coming just after this canto 9. So canto 10 is the smile of Krishna. Canto 11 is compared to the forehead. So by looking at the forehead, I remember many years ago when we came to India, me and my friend to move to India, Udharandata, in Delhi, somehow or other we asked, is there a Jyotishi here? So the man said, oh yeah, right here, around the corner. So we went, there was a saffron clad sadhu with a big magnifying glass. So he would look at your forehead and he would say, You have 40% lost and 50% free from loss. He would look at your forehead with a magnifying glass and he would read your life. Some read from the palm, some read from the forehead. So from Krishna's, but forehead at any rate, it's the symbol of Krishna's sharp intelligence. So we have Canto 11, Uddhava Gita. Yeah, very deep, very fascinating, intelligent exposition of all the philosophy. And then Canto 12 is the either Mukut or the hair, the the end of description of Krishna's body. So this is the full Bhagavatam. So Canto 9 here is the neck of Krishna. Canto 9 is the neck of Krishna. And Bhagavatam gradually prepares us. So 1 and 2, Cantos 1 and 2 are the lotus feet, 3 and 4, his thighs and knees, Canto 5, the belly. Then Canto 6, the heart. Canto 8, 7 and 8 are the strong arms of Krishna. What happens in Canto 7? Nrisimhadev. Yeah, Nrisimhadev and comes and smashes Hiranyakashipu. Yeah. However, Canto 9 takes a special place. Canto 9 takes a special place. Canto 9 is very bewildering, in fact. We see that so many bewildering stories are happening. You have some, first of all, you have a real lot of kings. So it's Ishanukatha and Vamshanukatha. So there are 10 topics a Purana has to cover. So this is a description of the dynasties. So you have the Sun dynasty and the Moon dynasty, the kings. So all of them, hundreds and hundreds of kings and generations are listed very clearly. Incarnations, several incarnations. And scandals, universal scandals, which are actually quite disturbing for the mind. You read that this person is the ruler of that planet, this person is the ruler of this planet, and he does some strange things. Here we even have a great sage. Okay, we got used to Durvasa doing strange things. Yeah, we have heard so many things. Durvasa, you know, oh, he's going to be angry. He's going to do something. He's like the examiner. You know, he's going around and examines people. Are you good enough? He even examined Lord Krishna in the Mahabharata. You may remember how Lord Krishna is tested by Durvasa. He comes in the middle of the night. This crashes in the middle of the night. Did we hear this? Did anybody tell this story from Mahabharata recently? How Durvasa tests Krishna? Because maybe I missed some of the... No? He crashes in the middle of the night. Just imagine, you're sleeping peacefully, resting for Mangalarati. And then in the middle of the night, a sadhu comes and he says, feed me. Okay, so Krishna wakes up and he says, but it must be cooked by Rukmini, by your queen. Okay, no problem. So Rukmini is happy, yes, she will cook. They cook wonderful halwa. They cook a big pot of halwa. So then Durvasa sees this halwa, he touches this halwa, he doesn't eat. You just imagine, in the middle of the night, you wake up, you cook a big, big pot of halwa. He doesn't eat. He says, you know what? I want you to smear this halwa all over your body. I mean, that would be the end of it, right? For almost all of us. You would say, you know, Maharaj, you go somewhere else. You want to eat? You eat. You don't want to eat? What is this? No. Krishna says, yes, Maharaj, I will do. And he smears himself with the halwa. The full body. One place Durvasa finds fault. He says, okay, you're healed. You didn't. But it's not a big... It's nothing big. So then he says, you know what? That's nice. That was good entertainment. But not enough. I want to go for a ride. Okay, yes, I'll tell. We'll prepare a chariot. Yeah, prepare a chariot, but I want your Rukmini to pull it. Beg your pardon? The queen? Yes, I want your queen to pull it. Anyway, this is what we have in the Mahabharata. This is the current Mahabharata. It's there. Also in some other places, I think it's mentioned. Famous story. So then he prepares. Durvasa sits in the chariot, and Rukmini is pulling the chariot with Krishna. I don't remember how much Krishna helps. I don't remember what was the condition exactly. Does she have to pull it alone, or Krishna can help? But anyway, they are pulling. And he's chastising them, and Krishna says, yes, sir, yes, Maharaj. So then finally Durvasa says, you know what? You're faultless. I cannot find any fault in you. Whatever I do, whatever I ask, you do. You have no faults. You have no defects. So therefore, Krishna, you will always be victorious. I bless you. your body is invulnerable. So wherever you covered your body with this halava, no arrow, nothing can pierce your body. Of course, Krishna doesn't need any like this, but anyway, that's the lila. It says, only you know, Krishna, on your heel, at the bottom of your foot, one place you missed with halava. So that's where one arrow can pierce. So now you have a story, you know. So that's why Krishna, you know, sat with this part of the foot open so that Jara can pierce with the arrow in Canto 12. So many stories are there. So that's Durvasa. So Durvasa gives all the blessings. He's so happy. He says, I have not seen any person as tolerant, as kind, as patient, as merciful, as hospitable as you, Krishna. Maharaj, it's natural. Of course, Krishna is the most kind, is the most merciful, and most tolerant, and most hospitable. He's Brahmanya. That's how we are supposed to offer prasadam every day. Namo Brahmanya Devaya. Brahmanya Devaya, right? Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. He is coming to give benefit to the Brahmanas and the cows. So, Bhakti Yogananda Maharaj is joking. Therefore, if you want to be dear to Krishna, you have to become either a cow or a Brahmana. And maybe becoming a Brahminical person is more practical. You can become a Brahminical person now. Cow, that you have to wait till the next life, maybe. So, Durvasa is a special character. He's almost like going around and testing people. It's not that he's angry. He shows anger. We know very famously he tested Srimati Radharani in Vrindavan. Yes, he came suddenly, unexpectedly, and he said, "Feed me." So Srimati Radharani made some. What did she make? Some clay laddus, something. She made something, and actually it was nice. It actually tasted nice. So then Durvasa gave her blessings. So he says, "Oh Radharani, anything you cook, whoever eats what you cook will always be healthy, will always be victorious, will always be happy, will live a long life." So he gives a big list of blessings. So he's not only cursing. You can see Krishna passes with flying colors. Radharani passes with flying colors. Of course, they are God and, you know, his female counterparts. That's only natural. And this is the reason why Yashodamai asks Radharani to come and cook for Krishna. Otherwise, it would be strange. Why she is inviting some married married woman to cook for Krishna? And also, why Radharani? Okay, she's the best, she's the most beautiful, amazing. But this is why. Because Krishna seems to be, you know, he's dancing the whole night. So Mother Yashoda is worried that, oh, he looks tired. And he's not eating, you know, he's just coming from a big feast, and she's feeding him, and he's not eating as much as Mother Yashoda would like. Of course, Madhu Mangal helps. When Mother Yashoda turns away, Madhu Mangal just takes all the food. And he says, "Look, my Yashoda, Krishna has eaten everything." And she's happy, but she's suspecting it's not exactly how Krishna is eating. So therefore she wants Krishna to be healthy, so she sends for Radharani. And you know this story, how she sends for Radharani, and Jatila says, "You're crazy? What is this? How is this that my daughter-in-law has to cook for your Krishna? Why? It's what is that? Are we your servants? Are we? What is this?" She refuses. And then Purnamasi is just passing by, and she looks at Jatila, and she, without a magnifying glass, she says, "Oh, Jatila, I think your Abhimanyu is losing some cows, is he?" "And true." And she says, "Your Abhimanyu doesn't have as many cows as you want, and as you want." "And true, they want more." So then she says, "You know what, I think there is some problem. I think you have committed some aparad, so it looks like the cows are going to die. cows are dying, your cows will die, and then Abhimanyu in misery will die, and then because Abhimanyu dies, in misery you also die. So she says this and she's just leaving. So Jatila is thinking, my God, you know, the cows will die. And anyway, Nanda Maharaj has 900,000 cows, and we have only, you know, I don't exactly know how many, but less. And now these few cows are dying, and then Abhimanyu will die, and then I will die. What is this? And she's saying, oh, Purnamasi, please, do you have a solution? How do I counteract that offense? So she says, you know what, your offense is that you didn't want to share the blessing that your daughter-in-law has. All the good fortune your husband has is from Radharani. But Krishna, you see, Mother Yashoda is very worried about Krishna, so she maybe can cook the breakfast for Krishna. So that, anyway, this is the background story. And then, yes. So then she goes to Radharani and she says, okay, Radharani, you go and cook in Nandagram. And Radharani says, no. She says, what? Why not? Because people say I'm attracted to something black there. So Jatila is worried, you know, Radharani is not going, and now the cows will die, and then Abhimanyu will die, and then she will die in grief. So she says, Radharani, I'm your mother-in-law, I'm giving you the order. You have to go, you must go. This is the order. You go and cook. Okay, so that's the order of the seniors. So she has to go and cook for Krishna on the order of seniors. So this is also, you can see, based on Durvasa's blessing. So he also gives blessings sometimes. But to hear these stories, we are in Vrindavan, so I think you have heard these stories already many times. But to hear these stories, we have to read the full Bhagavatam. In fact, we cannot read or hear or meditate on these stories without having read the full 9 cantos. So this is what Srila Prabhupada says. You read the 9 cantos, then you will understand the 10th canto. Otherwise, what we will think? We will think, this is some just like girls and boys. This is like, oh, this is exactly like what I feel. I feel lusty, she feels lusty, he feels lusty. That's something like this. And that's a total misunderstanding. And not only Gopi Lila, not only Gopi Lila, but also the cowherd boys, you know, they are sitting and, you know, he's eating laddu, he's stealing laddu from Krishna, bites laddu, gives to Krishna. So he thinks, oh, I can also do like this. That's simple. I can steal nice food and I can bite one laddu and give it to Krishna. I like to do this. So I can join, I can become a cowherd boy. It sounds simple, isn't it? Attractive. It is attractive, it is in a way simple, but we need to understand this is not, Krishna is not a human like us. And even the cowherd boys, Krita Punya Punja, they achieve it after collecting heaps and heaps of pious activities. And we always hear, how many qualities of Krishna do we have listed in, how many qualities does Krishna have? Only? Unlimited. He has unlimited, but 64 listed, yes. Also Radharani, it says, it lists 25, but then it says, actually also Asankhya, as unlimited as Krishna's. But 25 are listed. So then, we have in that description that only Krishna has 64. And even Narayana, Lord Vishnu, who is the same other form of Krishna, he has 60. And then Lord Shiva has 55. And then Lord Brahma has 50 in perfection. I mean, as far as a jiva can have, 50. 50 of the 64 qualities. So this is why Srila Prabhupada says that a jiva can have 78%, meaning 50 out of 64. However, you can sometimes read, like for example, we know that Lord Shiva is not a jiva tattva, is not like us, he's a shiva tattva. He's Krishna, he's like milk turned into yogurt. So he is in between. But if you go to Canto 4 or if you go to Lago Bhagavatamrita, you will see that sometimes, there can be one rare jiva tattva, who can do this service. Rarely, sometimes, a jiva can become Lord Shiva. Not Krishna, not Vishnu, but Lord Shiva, yes. But that's Lago Bhagavatamrita by Rupa Goswami and also Canto 4, Rudra Gita. 24, chapter 24. So, but this requires a qualification 100 times higher than Lord Brahma's. Sometimes Krishna cannot find even Lord Brahma. He has to do this service himself. And in our universe, he couldn't find any jiva who could do the service of Lord Shiva, so therefore he himself comes as Lord Shiva. So that's special Shiva Tattva in between. Kshiram yatha dadhi vikara vishesha yogurt. Dahi, like yogurt. Is milk, but not milk. Not completely milk. However, if sometimes there is a jiva who is 100 times more qualified and is ready to do this service, then a jiva could do this service. So Bhaktarasamrita Sindhu says that these cowherd boys who are stealing laddus from Krishna's plate and who are sharing laddus with Krishna also have 55 out of 64. 55 qualities of 64. So they are also Nitya Parishads, they can also have 55 qualities out of 64, like Lord Shiva. So they are very special. So this is why we read these, to train our mind and intelligence, so we do not misunderstand. So we see Ambarish Maharaj, he may not look, okay, he's a great king. But he is not an ordinary human being. You can see that even Durvasa, who is testing the whole universe, is tested by Ambarish Maharaj and losing. Big Durvasa, very, very powerful, very, very dangerous. He's losing to a Grihastha king, as Prabhupada says, pounds and shillings man. He's not a pounds and shillings, he doesn't count pounds and shillings, but meaning that he's, you know, is involved with a lot of rather down-to-earth things, theoretically. So he's losing to Ambarish Maharaj. This is in fact one of the comments of Giridhari Lal Goswami, that Durvasa Muni actually basically just here, what he is doing, he's establishing the glory of bhakti. That's the result of this lila. He's establishing the glories of bhakti. But we read about it so that we understand that Vrindavan Vasis is not cheap. And Vrindavan Lila is not cheap. It's not just simple cowherd boys. These are very, very elevated. They are higher than the highest yogis. And when we read, for example, that when Krishna leaves for Mathura, they stop cleaning the room. Yeah. And it looks like, what is it, they are in tamas or something? No, you will recognize, if you have studied the first nine cantos, you will recognize that they are behaving as the Paramahamsa yogis. So all the bridge bhasis are behaving at least as Paramahamsa yogis. So these cowherd boys, cowherd girls, the cows, everybody in Vrindavan is on the transcendental platform. So this is what the whole Bhagavatam is teaching us. They are teaching us, preparing us for Canto 10. And then immediately after this very, very sweet Vrindavan Lila, we have Mathura Lila, and then we have Dwaraka Lila. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Krishna Samhita says that the demons in Vrindavan Lila, if you read how Krishna kills a demon in Vrindavan Lila, it makes your heart clean, pure, cleansed of Samanartha, which is an obstacle to Braja Bhakti. And when you read about Krishna killing some demon in Mathura, it removes obstacles to Jnana Mishra Bhakti. And if you read about Krishna performing pastimes in Dwaraka and killing some demons in Dwaraka, it removes obstacles to karma mishra bhakti. And we may not be really so much interested in jnana mishra or karma mishra bhakti, but the point is that Vrindavan is very sweet. So if you eat only sweet food, if you eat only sweets, no, like children like to eat, yeah, only sweets. If you eat no sabji, no chapati, no rice, no dal, is it good for your health? Only sweets. It's dangerous. So the same way, Bhagavatam gives you very, very sweet Vrindavan Leela, and then it gives you some jnana, then it shows the power and opulence of Krishna in Dwaraka. And then we have Uddhava Gita and Navayogendras in Canto 11, some rather bitter jnana. To if it was too sweet for you, it counteracts the too much sweets that you might have taken. So everything is put in a perfect harmony, and you get the very balanced spiritual nourishment. So Bhagavatam is the perfect. And now they have, what are they called, meal replacement package. So it's not a replacement, it's the perfect spiritual nourishment. It gives you everything for spiritual life. Everything for total, highest, complete spiritual perfection is here in Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything is very systematic. There is not one syllable that is not rasa, not even one akshara, not one syllable, not one letter in the Bhagavatam that is not rasa. Also the full Bhagavatam, 18,000 shlokas, sometimes it says it's one long, 18,000 shlokas long name of Radha Krishna. Idam Bhagavatam Nama, Puranam Brahma Samhitam. This Bhagavatam, it's sort of like interpretation, rasika interpretation. This Bhagavatam is one big long name of Radha Krishna. So as you read, it's one big long name of Radha Krishna which can enter your heart. And so you can see Krishna's smile properly and then enter Vrindavan as a healthy, fully recovered, spiritual, eternal you. Muktir hitvan nyatharupam, giving up all the false identities, svarupena, becoming the real you, svarupena vivasiti, going to the spiritual world, taking shelter in Krishna, recovering your natural Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, recovering your eternal Sadeka Bunoi Shavanadi Shuddha Chitta Koroya Odoi, your eternal love, Krishna Prema, for Krishna and reconnecting with Krishna. So, Ambarish Maharaj Ki Jai. Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, as devotees teaching Durvasa Ki Jai. Sudarshan Chakra Ki Jai. A lot can be said, but if there are any questions, comments, or points, we still have some time. Somebody would like to add something or corrections?
He was observing these qualities and he was in the scene. And here then he is coming in front of Ambarish Maharaj. He is losing his temper. So can you explain something for him?
I say it happened afterwards. I mean, chronologically, Ambarish comes before and Radha Krishna comes after. So here he's getting his full lesson. So Radha Krishna, so when Krishna appears, the Mahabharata and the 10th canto comes after the 9th canto. So here he learns everything perfectly. He learns the glories. He establishes also the glories of bhakti and the glory of bhaktas. So that is happening after, when he comes to Krishna, when he comes to Radharani. Later. Yeah. Yeah, Kunti, yes, also he was pleased with Kunti. So some people are able to pass the test, yes. True. So you can see, he's not just cursing everybody. Some people do pass the test. Yes. Thank you. Raja, did you have a moment? So how is it that such an advanced devotee act in such strange ways? So this is one of the lessons we actually are receiving from Canto 9. So Canto 9 is very, very challenging to understand. It's full of scandals. Basically, what Canto 9 is a test before Canto 10. If I misunderstand this, I will definitely misunderstand Krishna. I remember Burjan Prabhu once said that, like, Varahadev seems such an amazing incarnation, a little strange, you know, God coming as a pig, basically. How is it so? But he says, if you misunderstand Varaha, you will definitely misunderstand little boy Krishna. Actually, to understand a little boy Krishna is more difficult than to understand this gigantic boar incarnation. So in the same way, if you misunderstand these, also, it usually will indicate that I have some material duality. Naturally, I have some material duality in my mind. Duality. See, this is good, this is bad. And then I become attached. And therefore, I'm very disturbed. Why is this happening? Why is he doing like this? Why? How can he allow himself that? And you read this, on every part of duality will be tested in Canto 9. But then also we will misunderstand, we will be disturbed by Krishna Lila too, if we are disturbed. So it's the last test. Canto 9 is like the, if the 10th canto is the, Vrindavan Lila is the inner quarters. So inner quarters are protected by a fortress wall, and then around the fortress there is a moat, you know, with water. Maybe crocodiles in the water, I don't know. So, to protect. So this is this moat with crocodiles. Very easy to misunderstand and to be disturbed. And only if you develop the vision of Paramahamsa, meaning you see good and bad. Paramahamsa is not blind. And doesn't mean that you don't see this is good, this is bad. You see, this is good, this is bad, this is how I should do, this is how you should not do. But at the same time, you are not envious, angry or inimical, you have no ill will, you wish everybody well, and you sort of understand, okay, this happens, that happens, and you are not disturbed, meaning you are not disturbed. So it trains us. Story after story, chapter after chapter, scandal, 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 scandal. Doesn't mean that it's something good, it just trains you in this vision of being a well-wisher for everybody and not becoming unnecessarily disturbed by these stories. So Durvasa is one of these stories. You know, how is it? Fourth canto, we see he's a great incarnation of Lord Shiva, son of Atri and Anasuya, right? Anasuya, Atri and Anasuya. And he is going and attacking a devotee, creating a demon to kill a devotee. So again, as I said, there is one comment, one little line in Giridhari Lal's commentary saying that he is establishing the glory of bhakti, the supreme. You can see why is he here? What's the lesson? He is very clearly establishing that he goes to Brahma, he says, I'm not independent. He goes to Shiva, he says, I'm not independent. He goes to Vishnu. Vishnu says, I'm not independent. You came from mercy, but mercy is in the heart, but I gave my heart to my devotees. Sadhunam Hridayam Tvaham, Sadhavo Hridayam Mahyam, Sadhunam Hridayam Tvaham. So you're coming for mercy, but it's not here, it's with my devotees, so you have to go to my devotees. So that's the lesson, that's the conclusion he establishes. It's a very positive conclusion, and apparently at least one commentator, famous commentator, Acharya, is saying that that was his secret purpose, to establish the glory of bhakti. So, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, this interruption here, we have a very special evening today. It's the last day of the one morning week, and somehow His Holiness Ramana Swami will be chanting with us, or for us, or with us, yes, at the Pandal here at 6:30. So many of you who did not participate for the last 7 days, maybe this time, I will encourage you to take part in the World Holy Name Week. Okay? Those who clap, we're expecting you to be there before 6:30.
It's recorded. Smarahari Prabhu has a question.
You mentioned a short time ago in the Lavu
Bhagavatamrita.
Bhagavatamrita by Sanatana Goswami.
Rupa Goswami.
Rupa Goswami. It says that the entire 18,000 verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam glorify Radha Krishna. Can we consider that the entire Bhagavatam also glorifies the devotees, in that it's their prayers, it's their appreciation of the Lord's incarnation, it's their interaction with the Lord? Can we consider that Srila Prabhupada is fully represented in each of the sections of the Srimad Bhagavatam by his prowess as a devotee?
Definitely Bhagavatam, you can see Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Lord is Bhagavan. And Bhagavata, one of the meanings of Bhagavata is a devotee. It means like we say Vishnu and Vaishnava, we are Vishnus. Or Krishna and we are, Prabhupada uses sometimes Krishnaites or Krishnaites. And so Krishnas, we are Krishnas. Here it means Bhagavans, we are Bhagavans. So a devotee means we are His. So Srimad Bhagavatam can be translated as the beautiful glories of the Lord, or these are the beautiful glories of everything devoted to the Lord, and everybody devoted to the Lord. So we see, yes, definitely, Krishna says in Canto 11, Mad Bhakta Puja Vyadika, worship of my devotee is higher than worship of me. And Shukadeva Goswami says in the end of Canto 10, Bhagavan Bhakta Bhaktiman. Bhagavan Bhakta Bhaktiman. Krishna is Bhakta of his Bhaktas. Krishna is also Vaishnava. He's Bhagavan Bhakta Bhaktiman. Bhagavan is a Bhakta of his Bhaktas. All the Bhaktas. So, obviously, yeah, definitely, the whole Bhagavatam glorifies. And also, it says, Bhagavatam will dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. But if it were not for our Srila Prabhupada, how would it dispel? You know, who brought it? Who didn't sleep nights to give translations and add his ecstasy, personal ecstasies, as he called his purports? If he didn't do this, even he did it, and still, how many people have read? I don't want to do the embarrassing exercise asking, how many people have read the full Bhagavatam? But at least he's there. Bhagavatam is there. And his disciples have completed the full Bhagavatam. So that's by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nidai Gaur Premanande. Hare Hare.